This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. 1 week after the London terrorist bombings, congressional leaders are debating the merits of parts of the USA Patriot Act, including FBI access to library records, the use of roving wiretaps to track suspects, and sharing of information between intelligence agencies. The law, overwhelmingly approved by Congress just 6 weeks after the September the 11th attacks here in the U.S., established wider powers for federal law enforcement officers. 16 of the more controversial provisions were passed with what's known as a sunset clause. They're set to expire at the end of this year unless reauthorized by Congress. Liberal groups, and even some conservatives, worry that these provisions infringe on the very civil liberties that form the basis of our democratic society. Others believe the Patriot Act is critical to the ongoing war on terror and a big reason why we haven't had a terrorist attack in this country since 2001. Later in the hour, what we know now about the four men responsible for last week's attacks, and as the world awaits the new Harry Potter, where would you fit in at Hogwarts? But first, the USA Patriot Act. If you have questions about what's in the law, how it's been applied, or about the politics of the Patriot Act, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. We begin with Richard Schmidt, who covers the Justice Department for the Los Angeles Times. He's with us here in Studio 3A. Rick, thanks very much for coming in.
Good to be here.
Is it fair to say that the extension of the Patriot Act provisions will not enjoy the same unanimity as the Patriot Act was first passed with?
The Patriot Act was passed in the weeks after 9/11, and there has been sort of a degree of buyer's regret among some members of Congress who are concerned that it was done too hastily. Now, 4 years later, there's been some time for many hearings and debate about how the provisions have worked in practice, and there seems to be a movement to certainly not to expand the Patriot Act at this point, and even among some Republicans, to, at least in the margins, moderate some of the provisions to accommodate concerns of civil liberties groups and others.
It's a very complicated procedure because it involves four committees in both houses of Congress, the Judiciary and the Intelligence Committees in both the House and the Senate. How does all this work?
You've got a menu of options out there now, and it takes a good deal of study to understand what the heck is going on each front. But you have a bill that was passed by the Senate Intelligence Committee some time ago that is perhaps the most aggressive in terms of outlining new powers for the administration. That is sort of at one extreme. And then at another extreme, perhaps just yesterday, interestingly enough, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter, along with California Democrat Dianne Feinstein, introduced a bill that would moderate a number of provisions of the law and include continuing sunset provisions on two of the more controversial provisions of the law.
That would be including the powers to dig up library records.
Including the famous library provision record, Section 215 of the Act.
Well, we're going to be hearing from members of both House committees that are looking at this bill. Joining us now is Mike Rogers, a Republican from Michigan, a Republican member of the House Intelligence Committee. He's with us now from Capitol Hill. Good of you to be with us today.
Neil, it's good to be here.
Under the new House Intelligence Committee proposal, how would the Patriot Act be changed?
Well, there are very few changes from the original. There was something called a lone wolf provision that we didn't have in the first one that says that if you're acting alone or it seems that you're acting alone, the government can presume, if you're planning an act of terror, that you are attached to a foreign power or you are connected to a foreign government in the course of that investigation, which would then apply to the provisions of the Patriot Act. That's probably the biggest change. There's a lot of tweaking. There's certainly a lot of lively debate about Section 215 and other sections, which, by the way, never talks about library records specifically in 215. It was intended for business records. So there's a lot of lively discussion on those matters, but most of it is just a reaffirmation that these things are working and the fact that we had a healthy debate on all of them.
As a former FBI special agent yourself, I wonder, do you think the Patriot Act has helped improve communications among intelligence agencies?
Oh, absolutely, and let me tell you why. When I was an agent from 88 to 94, there was a provision that if I got something, and I worked organized crime, and if something came up on one of my wiretaps that I directed toward organized crime that was part of a grand jury investigation, and that information came up, said a bad guy, we think he's a terrorist, is coming to Miami on Tuesday, I was prohibited from law, by law, from passing that along to the CIA. And what that did is it created a culture of agents saying, I'm not sure what I can or I can't, so I'm not talking. And that whole barrier has been ripped away. And I have never seen such good cooperation. Can it be better? You betcha. I mean, we still got a ways to go, but it is getting better every day. And I've never seen the kind of cooperation we have today. That's because of the Patriot Act and the ability to keep up with technology and chase terrorists, which is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm. There are provisions in one of the sunsetting provisions was the so-called roving wiretap law. Under the Intelligence Committee's proposal, what do you think is going to happen with that?
Well, I think it's going to stay in. You know, there's some debate about what legal standard we use to apply it. But you've got to remember, nothing in the Patriot Act, with the exception of this lone wolf provision, is different from criminal cases. If I was an FBI agent and wanted to go and get a roving wiretap for a drug case, I could do it before the Patriot Act. And all we said is, look, we shouldn't set a different standard for drug dealers on the corners of our street or terrorists who are trying to kill innocent men, women, and children in America. And we just applied that standard. And I argue it is absolutely crucial when you look at what happened on 9/11 and how many different states that they went to, how many different driver's license, very surreptitious travel. They moved on purpose. And what the roving wiretap says is, look, if we can identify these guys, we ought not have to go through this whole system every single time they pick up and go from Miami, Florida, to Detroit, Michigan, to, you know, fill in the blank. And I think it's going to stay in, and I think the more people realize and truly understand what's in the Patriot Act, their comfort level goes up. No due process is subjugated in the Patriot Act, not one iota.
President Bush, and as you know, many in Congress, want all of the provisions of the Patriot Act to be approved permanently. Do you agree, or ought there be periodic review?
Well, I think there always should be periodic review. I'm not sure a sunset does that. My argument is, and a sunset to me is not going to end, you know, won't be the ruinous of the bill at all. But my argument is, if you believe that due process has been removed in the Patriot Act, you should not vote for it, sunset or not. Because I certainly wouldn't vote for a bill that I believed removed due process, constitutional protections under due process. I wouldn't do it. So if it's okay today, and I look at this bill and say it's okay under the due process clause, then why would it be any different in 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 or 8 years? I think this is a ruse for people who want to say, see, there is something bad in there, so you better put a time limit on it because it's really bad. And that's unfortunate because there really isn't. And people who vote for the Patriot Act, if they're arguing that they're going to vote for it because they think there's no due process, but 10 years is okay, they're wrong. They should never vote for a bill that removes due process.
Well, some of them say it's, you know, it's an emergency measure. It's a war on terrorism.
There is nothing in this bill that we couldn't do under the criminal statutes. A copyright infringement case, I could go and get a subpoena and go into a library before the Patriot Act. So we're saying that copyright infringement is more dangerous to America than terrorism. All we did is say we ought to have the same standard. There's nothing new in here. There's no emergency provision. What we said was we're going to treat terrorists like we are gangsters, like we are copyright infringement folks, like we are child pornographers in this country that we do every single day without these horrible abuses that groups come up and claim are going to happen. Well, they're not happening under the criminal code. Why would they happen under the code when we're chasing terrorists? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Our number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. Email is totn@npr.org. Let's get a caller in. This is Jack calling from Montgomery County in Maryland.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Just quickly, my comment would be that it seems a lot of the public discourse is not so much in the details on this, but in the generality that there's a loss of privacy that goes along with this somehow. And I'd just like to comment that it appears, anyway, that in England, one of the ways they caught the four gentlemen so quickly or figured things out was because of the surveillance cameras, which is a big loss of privacy, obviously, and I'm not advocating that, but there is some trade-off privacy for advanced security and that's my comment. I'll just take any other comments off the air. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, Jack. Thanks very much. And Congressman, I think in this country, that's pretty much of a local issue.
Yeah, I really do. And what we ought to do is look at the real facts and try to get away from as many myths about the Patriot Act as we possibly can. I think even if you're somebody who says, I'm a passionate civil libertarian, and I think that's a healthy thing, if you look at this and apply it to the law that we've been practicing in this country for 230 years, roughly, you're going to find that there is no difference in this bill. Now, there's a lot of rhetoric saying they're going to sneak in and take your library records because they want to know what book you read. They're going to sneak in your bedroom and not be able to have to tell you about it. All of that is absolutely untrue. There are due process protection throughout this bill, and it's unfortunate because, if nothing else, London should remind us that we're a nation at war with terrorism, and we better have the same tools to catch terrorists that we do gangsters.
Yet people are worried about this. Seven states, nearly 400 cities and counties have approved resolutions that condemn the Patriot Act.
Well, and if you ask those folks what's in the Patriot Act, they couldn't tell you. I had a city council do this to me in my district, and I went to them and sat down, and we walked through the provision. At the end of it, they said, oh, we had no idea. But they voted on a resolution to condemn it. They had no understanding what was in this bill. It was just based on the rhetoric and the TV commercials by a large group that's trying to up its membership and get people to pay its dues. I mean, it's a travesty because they ought to at least be honest about the due process protections in the Patriot Act. And if you don't like that, that's fine. But they also ought to be advocating for doing away with large parts of our criminal code as well that we've been using without problem for years.
Mike Rogers, thanks very much for being with us today. We appreciate your time.
Neil, thank you so much.
Mike Rogers, a Republican from Michigan, a member of the House Intelligence Committee, joined us from Capitol Hill. Later in the program, we'll be hearing from a Democratic member of the House Judiciary Committee and get another point of view on the USA Patriot Act. We want your thoughts as well. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, TOTN@npr.org. We'll be back with more and with Rick Schmidt of the Los Angeles Times when we come back from a short break. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the debate over the USA Patriot Act, 16 provisions when this bill was passed by Congress in the weeks after 9/11. 16 provisions were passed with a so-called sunset clause. They're set to expire at the end of this year unless reauthorized by Congress. Four congressional committees are now debating which ought to be reauthorized and how to tweak them if they are. With us is Rick Schmidt of the Los Angeles Times. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email address is totn@npr.org. And Rick Schmidt, of the 16, how many of these are controversial?
Well, it is striking. Congressman Rogers makes a good point that notwithstanding all the debate about the Patriot Act, the vast majority of the provisions are going to get renewed, and there's not a whole lot of controversy about that. He alluded to the information, so-called information-sharing provisions of the Patriot Act, and they have been little debated, and everybody seems to agree that that's in the main, that's a good idea. You know, on the other hand, I think when he discussed the whole question of sunset, I think it's interesting how even some Republicans are lining up behind the idea of having some built-in mechanism by which Congress will come back and revisit how some of these provisions have worked, especially, you know, Section 215, the library provision, or roving wiretaps, or whatever, just because, you know, even though many of these provisions and powers have been used in other contexts and other criminal cases over the years, I think even the government, the Justice Department, and the administration will acknowledge we're in a new era of crime fighting. It's terror fighting, and much of it is sort of preemptive action to forestall terrorist acts that really is a different kind, a different mode of approaching law enforcement. And so I think there's naturally a good deal of suspicion or concern among even Republicans about how this is working in practice.
And well, let's get another point of view on this. Joining us now from Capitol Hill is Zoe Lofgren, Democratic member of the House Judiciary Committee. She's a representative from California, and she's with us from Capitol Hill. Representative Lofgren, good to have you on the program.
Good to be here. Calling from the cloakroom.
Calling from the cloakroom. Well, always a good place to be, especially on a miserable day like this.
Yes.
James Sensenbrenner, the Republican chair of the House Judiciary Committee, introduced a bill to make all of the 16 provisions permanent to provide stronger oversight over some government powers. How do you feel about that provision? How it's being argued out in the House Judiciary Committee?
Well, as you know, we completed action last night, and on a party line vote, the bill was passed. Quite a contrast to the last time the Judiciary Committee took this up when it was a unanimous vote. There are some provisions of the Patriot Act that are important that I think almost all of us support, the sharing of information so that we can connect the dots. But there are also some measures in the original act that need some tinkering and need some correction. And there was a real unwillingness on the part of the Republican majority to really consider changes that even the Justice Department said that they agreed with. And I was actually concerned about something else. You know, when the Assistant Attorney General came to testify before the committee on the act, I asked him whether he thought it might not be a good idea to reaffirm that the Congress of the United States has not acted to suspend the writ of habeas corpus. I offered that amendment last night, yesterday evening, and it was unanimously adopted. And then after much flurrying around with kind of Justice Department dweebs, there was a party line vote to re-vote that amendment, and the Republicans voted against the proposition that we have not suspended the writ of habeas corpus. So that's kind of chilling news for the country and an additional reason to be concerned.
Is most of the controversy focused on the 215, the so-called library provision, and the roving wiretaps?
Some of it's on 215. Some of it is on the national security letters, which, as you know, I'm sure, have been declared unconstitutional, and efforts that we made to put some order and rules into the national security letters that might allow them to meet constitutional muster. We also had an amendment, and Mr. Van Halen from Maryland had an amendment to keep guns out of the hands of terrorists because, I think, of NRA pressure. That was turned down. It's astonishing. I just wanted to see how far they would go. I had an amendment that would make criminal transferring a 50-caliber sniper rifle if you knew the recipient was a member of Al-Qaeda. They even voted against that.
There is less contention in other committees. As we've been mentioning earlier, there are four congressional committees debating this, the House Intelligence and the Senate Judiciary and Intelligence, in addition to your House Judiciary Committee. Do we have any idea of how the different versions of this bill are going to be melded together?
Well, we don't. I mean, ordinarily, that would be hashed out either in the Rules Committee or on the floor. Or in conference committee. It sounds to me as if the Senate is taking a more aggressive approach in making sure that the constitutional defects in the measure are addressed, and also that we have a mechanism to ensure that we have oversight and review. A 10-year review period is way too long. As I pointed out yesterday, some of the provisions relative to technology will be so dated in 10 years that they'll be meaningless. So, you know, we really ought to have some oversight, as even the chairman admitted. The Justice Department simply refuses to answer questions until they have to. And in fact, one of the amendments I offered relative to the potential misuse of the material witness statute was adopted by the chairman and the Republicans because the Justice Department has simply stonewalled us on the information. So we do need review. We do need some corrections to 215, to the material witness, to roving wiretaps, and some other matters, and we basically didn't get it yesterday.
President Bush has pointed out that Senator Feinstein worked with civil rights groups to monitor the administration's use of the Patriot Act and found no recorded abuses.
Well, it's easy to find no recorded abuses when you don't get answers to any of your questions. You know, I think it is true that there's been a lot of things said by opponents of the measure that were exaggerations or not correct, and I think that is a shame. But there have also been causes for concern. And unless we can have an honest review of what has actually occurred, either in public or we all have security clearances in a classified session, the public can't be sure that we're doing the right thing in fighting terrorism, but also respecting our civil liberties and our Constitution. And we're far from that now.
Let's get another caller in on the conversation. Now, this is Brian. Brian calling from Overland Park in Kansas.
Yes, I have a question and then a comment.
Go ahead.
My question is, the previous congressman said that all of the provisions of the Patriot Act are already law.
Mm-hmm.
If this is the case, why do we need this?
There are certain elements of the law that are expiring unless they are renewed by the Congress.
I think what we had earlier, Mike Rogers from the House Intelligence Committee, saying that all of the powers granted the federal government under the Patriot Act were already existing. That, for example, somebody wanting to look at library records in a copyright infringement case, they could already do that.
Well, that's not exactly correct. There were provisions that were extended from the criminal law that has its own checks and balances into the national security area that has a different set of checks and balances. That's why the Patriot Act was sought by the Justice Department to begin with. We wouldn't be having these arguments today. There were some other elements of the act that did not exist at all. For example, the national security letter provisions and the sharing of information between the intelligence community and law enforcement community that were not possible prior to the act. So I'm not sure Mr. Rogers was here when we wrote the bill, but I spent a lot of time on it and participated in the weekend-long drafting session, and there were some changes.
Brian?
Okay, and my comment is that I don't think people the issue I think people are having with the Patriot Act is not the act itself, but who is, or the law, but who is interpreting that law under, you know, what checks and balances are there that say, because you look up the word Al-Qaeda on the Internet, are you going to be investigated? You know, what if a kid doing a term paper? You know, that's what people have the fear of, is who interprets what is criminal and what is not.
So Lofgren,
that's
the
issue.
I think the caller speaks for many Americans in expressing some anxiety about where we're heading as a free society, and that's why we sought to have some changes in the relevancy provision. That's basically a very low standard for the execution of 215 powers in the act. That we didn't get anywhere with that. I disagreed that we should make that standard as high as you do for issuance of a warrant. It's an entirely different inquiry. But the standard today is way too low. And that's why I really think, bottom line, although it wasn't in the act, the more chilling moment for me was when the Republicans refused to say that we did not suspend habeas corpus, the great writ that keeps us all free, coming from our British ancestors. There is, when we act this way, in a high-handed way, refuse to collaborate as we did in the past, right after 9/11, it just raises the suspicions of Americans who want to fight terrorists, as I do, but who want to make sure that we are turning over our Constitution to the next generation as good as it was handed down to us.
Brian, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Zoe Lofgren, we thank you for your time today. We know you're busy. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Zoe Lofgren, a Democrat from California, a member of the House Judiciary Committee, calling us from, as she mentioned, the cloakroom there on Capitol Hill. Still with us is Rick Schmidt of the Los Angeles Times. And, Rick, we've heard apples and oranges views of the Patriot Act.
And that's and you know, it's interesting. I mean, the whole debate about the Patriot Act is interesting how it's been defined in a number of ways. At the outset of the debate, things were being ascribed to the Patriot Act that had nothing to do with the Patriot Act. People are outraged that the government can lock up American citizens like Jose Padilla, mm-hmm. and without giving him apparently due process of law. How can that be? You know, it must be the Patriot Act. But that had nothing to do with the Patriot Act. It's interesting that the debate has focused also so much on Section 215, the library provision. And I don't doubt for a second the concern and the sincerity of critics about how that may be used. On the other hand, If we are to believe the Justice Department in terms of how often that provision has been used, it hasn't been used that much. Nonetheless, it's become a central focus of the whole debate. You know, I think it just serves to show that people, rightly though, are just concerned about, and even Attorney General Gonzalez has acknowledged this, that you know, we should be concerned about government power and the exercise of government power, and that should be subject to regular scrutiny, and that there should be a continuing dialogue about that. And I think that's why we're seeing such a push for things like sunsets and requiring additional information. You know, if this thing hadn't been sunsetted, you know, there are lots of people in Congress who doubt that we would get what information that we've gotten about how it's been used from the Justice Department in terms of statistical information about the act or testimony from various department officials. You know, we're in a new era of crime fighting here, and I think you know, the sunset provisions have become a way for Congress and policymakers and administration officials to dialogue on that. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, that may be one of the more important things that emerges from this whole debate. You know, that may be a common ground that critics as well as supporters are able to reach in order to gain the ultimate renewal of the act.
We're talking about the debate over the Patriot Act. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller in. This is Kyle, and Kyle's with us from Stuttgart in Germany.
Yes, Daniel, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because I thought the Republican congressman's remarks earlier were somewhat disingenuous, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, but he was saying that the elements of the law, so many of them were already existent for other criminal acts, and that the Patriot Act just applied them to terrorism. And I think the distinction in all that is that, for example, the copyright law and the roving warrants that required, mm-hmm. is that the Patriot Act gives the government the power to commence its investigations, its sneak and peek searches, or whatever, without presenting probable cause to a judicial figure, that they can just go based on base suspicion of a person's actions and not get that final check by the judge. Is that correct?
I think it may be correct in some respects, though it was the subject, as it happens, of the bill that was presented yesterday by Senators Specter and Feinstein, a bipartisan bill, this in the House and the Senate Judiciary Committee. This had to do with the provision. Here's, by the way, a clip of Senator Specter talking about exactly that provision as it referred to Section 215, the so-called library provision.
It is just too automatic to have the investigator go out and peremptorily call for records without any supervision or without any showing of relevance or anything approximating probable cause.
And Rick Schmidt, as I understand it, the Senate Judiciary Committee bill would still include that right, but now that would have to be authorized by the head of the FBI himself.
Well, it's interesting. One very interesting twist in the bill related to Section 215, the library provision records. I think it would require actually the approval of the FBI, the director, or possibly the deputy director for orders concerning such things as library records. So it requires a sort of heightened degree of accountability within the FBI.
So it's certainly, Kyle, one of the areas at least some members of Congress are very worried about.
Well, good. I appreciate the information. And as a registered Democrat, all I can say is thank God for Arlen Specter.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Kyle. How has, Rick, the attacks in London just a week ago today, how have they affected this debate?
I think it's a little early to tell. It's certainly a stark reminder of the stakes here. It's interesting, though, in the wake of that, we have a bill coming from the Republican chairman of the Judiciary Committee that in many ways would sort of moderate the tools that Congress authorized after our own September 11. So, you know, I don't doubt that that's going to be a factor. You know, it has to be as this thing moves forward. But I find it kind of impressive that notwithstanding that there is not a sudden rush to embrace new tools that have been proposed by the FBI and the Justice Department. Rather, we're talking about more or less maintaining the status quo with some tightening up.
Mm-hmm. There is a rush to get this approved. Obviously, the Senate Judiciary Committee may be soon embroiled in the Supreme Court nomination. So is this going to get done before that? After, do we know?
We don't know. I think I read somewhere that the House may take up Representative Sensenbrenner's bill sometime next week. But in terms of final action, you know, if Congress still wants to take a vacation and still has to deal with at least one Supreme Court vacancy before October, you know, that's a pretty full agenda. Obviously, the action has to be taken before the end of the year when the provisions expire. But it looks like you know, the ultimate resolution of this may not happen until sometime later in the fall, at least.
Rick Schmidt covers the Justice Department for the Los Angeles Times, joined us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much.
Great to be here.
When we come back from a short break, as the London investigation moves forward, what we know now about the bombing suspects. Also, as readers await the release of the next Harry Potter novel, we ask, which Hogwarts house would you fit in? Give us a call. Are you a Slytherin? 800-989-8255. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.